The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show, and we welcome you to the program. We begin every hour with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. And as we begin this hour, I'm going to be very transparent and honest. I am really struggling with the state of things going on in our country right now. 26,000 troops in D.C. 26,000? I'm at a loss in one sense, but in another way in which I see it, there's obviously agendas being pushed forth here. You can't convince me, I'm sorry, that what happened a couple of weeks ago warrants 26,000 troops on boots on the ground. We've never seen this in the history of our country. There was an exchange last night on Tucker Carlson I'm going to share with you. Now, let me be very intentional about this. Jason Whitlock, above all, is a Christian man. He said something that resonated deep in my soul that I have been sharing on this radio program, that we're living in times by which there is this push to separate, a push to divide. And part of the ongoing narrative with respect, and if you'd like to call and share your thoughts, you can do that, 888-528-2557. One of the narratives is about race. And somehow that we've got a serious problem in our country with racism. I don't think it's either or. I don't think that in one extreme there's no racism at all. I think that's foolish. Of course there is. The other extreme is somehow it's systemic. It's everywhere. I don't think that's true either. But the narrative that is being pushed forth is somehow we are divided, even in the church. We saw over the summer a series of events happen that some applauded. We're not going to name names or what political parties, but 700 law enforcement officers were injured over the summer. 32 people were killed at rioting all across the country that went basically unchecked. And now two Wednesdays ago, there's a breach in the Capitol. Now, by the way, if you are way back when I was growing up, there was a fascination with Sherlock Holmes in my sphere. And people liked the idea of being kind of investigative journalists or reporters or even, as is the case with Sherlock Holmes, you know, you try to solve mysteries. Y'all know that what time the breach at the Capitol happened? It happened at 12:30. And when the man that's on his way out actually signed off, it was 1:11. He was speaking when the Capitol was breached. It's we're being pushed a false narrative here. But again, hear my words. I'm emphasizing false narrative. I'm emphasizing that division is being pushed. That somehow if you can take tens of millions of Americans, pit them against tens of millions of Americans, you create instability and you can undermine some of the very ancient fabric of this country. And I believe that there are entities at play doing this. Jason Whitlock is a very intelligent man. This is a very intelligent man who had a very intelligent exchange with Tucker Carlson last night, and it is challenging, but it needs to be heard as we still embrace freedom of speech, at least today in this country.
You are right in the middle of saying why you think that this is a bad idea, this crackdown. Tell us why.
Absolutely. Tucker, I just want to repeat again for people to listen to what you said in your monologue, and I want to speak specifically to black people and to Hispanic people. We have to move beyond race. We have to deal with the facts and not get caught up in the game that's being played on us, that we hear everything in racial terms. There is a cultural war going on. And it is between those of us who are believers in the American dream, those of us who are believers in a higher power, those of us who are believers in Dr. King's dream of us being judged by the content of our character, and the people who don't believe in those things, the people that want to upturn all the great progress we've made here in America and take us a direction that is not healthy for any of us. They're using race as a distraction, and we're not looking at the corruption we have in this country because of the Chinese influence, the money, how they've overtaken our politicians and big tech, and they're trying to destabilize and tear down a great country, a country that is flawed, but is better than any country on the globe and has been better for us, those of us that are black, than any country on the planet. And yes, it was flawed. But if you understand our founding principles, the Declaration of Independence, the Emancipation Proclamation, and Dr. King's speech, and I Have a Dream, to me, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, the three most important men to me in American history, it's all there.
Amen.
They're trying to upturn all of that, get out of the racial discussion, and look at what's really going on in this country.
Jason Whitlock last night on Tucker Carlson. I would invite you to call 888-528-2557 if you want to engage in dialogue on maybe what you just heard. And I absolutely agree, and I think the deeper challenge is, as Jason said, to get beyond this dynamic of either or that somehow racial inequality is at the core of so much we see in our culture and the social maladies that we have. Now let's talk from the perspective of being Christians. And please hear me loud and clear. I think dialogue is of the essence. We need to talk about such things. We need to get into disagreements. But honest above all, in the Lord, where identity is completely in Him. And to not fall into the false narrative of culture today, not to fall into the malaise of what is to come that looks as if it is a dark tsunami that's going to overtake all of us. But when it comes to those of us, let's say Jesus is Lord, and we get into these arguments about what's really going on in the country. And it manifested above all in the culmination of this election, where one entity was going to do this, the other entity was going to do that, pushed by the mainstream media. And the next thing you know, we have what we have that's about to happen tomorrow. 26,000 soldiers on the ground. We're told this is the most popular president in the history of the country. Inaugurated basically in secret, behind a giant wall guarded by thousands of soldiers. Is there something wrong with this picture to you? And why are we a country so divided? We need to look to the gospel, obviously, above all. Do we know the gospel? Those of us that profess faith in Christ. You want to talk about under attack? The gospel is under attack. It's been under attack since the very moment Jesus walked on the earth. even from those that profess to be Christians. We call them the progressive Christians or the theological liberals. A little later in the program, I'm going to get into this whole idea that we hear Jesus was this loving, compassionate, forgiving God, and he indeed is that. But if you really read your Bibles, there's a whole lot of Jesus we don't hear much about, that he challenged the political elite. He called them names. He gave his life. He wasn't crucified because he just preached love. They didn't like the way he challenged the status quo. And if our identity is in him, I still believe 1 + 1 = 2. It's not hard to figure out that if we look to what's going on in our country and the world and we profess faith in Christ, this is an opportunity to realize maybe we've been asleep. Maybe we're not who we think we are. Maybe we're spiritually immature, and it's time to strengthen our acumen and our understanding of the Bible. There's a wonderful Bible study out I told you about last week. It's out. It's free. No agenda. It's not like it's going to cost you anything. The Bible study is entitled How to Best Understand America's Deep Divide. It's all about the Bible and what's going on. The website is CapMin, as in Capital Ministries, capmin.org. Do you want to understand what's going on in our country and what the causal reason is for our deep divide? Read the Bible study. It's undeniable what's going on. And this isn't about political partisanship. This is about good versus evil. This is where we are. Jim in Santa Ana. Jim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes. I live in the area where there's some black people that tell me they're in for Biden just because they want Kamala Harris in for the reasons of reparations. You know, they want what is coming to them, is what the exact words were. But I try to explain them so-called conspiracies for the past 100 years, a few of them, that I said, this is the reasons why you're that this way. Ronald Reagan, I mentioned, he wanted to lower the power of the education system, and that's why he got shot at. Things like that, you know. So,
Here's where, with respect, you lost me. And I don't think you did this intentionally, and maybe it's my own subjective interpretation of what you said, but I kind of heard you kind of overgeneralize about groups of people, which I'm sure wasn't your intention. So maybe you can clarify and speak more clear.
It's just probably just a small minority that believe that, I guess. I'm assuming that's the reason why. But I know that the education system has transformed people's minds to be more socialistic in political terms.
So
am I correct?
What's the bottom line of what you're trying to share? And is the gospel anywhere in it?
Oh, the gospel. Yeah, of course, the gospel is number one as far as salvation of the heart and mind. And that was transformed by his word. So I want, of course, to share that with them, too. But they don't want to hear it. They tell me, I don't want to hear religious stuff. That's what they tell me.
Okay. Well, again, you say they, as if they're all one entity. Thank you, Jim. I think we are challenged ever more so to develop deeper relationships with people that we completely disagree with. Now, the challenge is if they would engage in that relationship, because we live at a time where it seems, and that's a subjective interpretation on my end, where there's not a lot of respectful dialogue that has a nature of disagreement. We see it fully manifest in our society right now, where you have tech monopolies and people on the left adamant about shutting down free speech. So I'm not saying this is necessarily an easy endeavor, but let's have open and honest dialogue about our disagreements. And I think Jason Whitlock is onto something. when he talks about so much of what we're being fed is all about race and division. And I would think we have to be a bit more discerning than that to understand there's a deeper issue going on here. And I believe it's spiritual in nature. What about you? 888-528-2557. Is there anything about this conversation that you want to weigh in on? This would be the time to call. We have a lot to cover in this hour. Before we take any more calls, let me read from a book I made reference to yesterday. The book is entitled Another Gospel. A lifelong Christian seeks truth in response to progressive Christianity. The author's name is Elisa Childers. One example, the many of us that talk about Jesus as our Lord, and we hear things like government, Romans 13, we're only to submit to governing authorities as if there's no circumstance by which we are to not only challenge government, but disregard some of what they say. It's this all-or-nothing gospel. And that, and somehow in the all-or-nothing category, Jesus is this loving God. Jesus hung out with sinners. He wouldn't challenge anybody. Well, you may want to open your Bible to one of the synoptic gospels, would be Matthew. I'll just go down the line quickly as Elisa Childers writes this. The gospel writers record Jesus calling people the following: enemies, pagans, hypocrites, thieves. How many of you know that Jesus called some of the elite dogs and pigs? False prophets, a wicked and adulterous generation, blind guides, fools, whitewashed tombs, serpents, brood of vipers, cursed. That's just from Matthew's gospel. And yet, when it comes to our identity in Christ, we tend to think, oh, Jesus was all about loving and taking care of everybody and being compassionate, and that's all true. But he challenged the political elite. He challenged the religious zealots. That's why they crucified him. And he willingly went to the cross for you and for me. Because God doesn't hang out with sinners. And we're sinners. And the only way to be rectified to God the Father as sinners, because he doesn't hang out with sinners, is that Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. But I hear so much chatter in the church, oh no, he's a social justice warrior. No, that's not what I get in the Bible, to say the very least. Maureen in Oxnard. Maureen, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes. Hi, Frank. I just wanted to contribute to what you were talking about as far as it being spiritual or if it's racism, so on and so forth. But I have always felt, since things have gotten worse and worse and worse with just Trump being president and everybody just going against every good thing that he did, to the COVID starting, to now we're going to have a new president tomorrow, I think it's all spiritual. It's all evil versus good. And the good have been praying and praying, and maybe we didn't get what we want, but I'm sure our prayers helped to tame the evil to a certain point, or maybe it could have been worse than what happened last Wednesday. And the lies, we just have to, you know, you have to ask your spirit, is it a lie or is it truth? And what they're saying about Trump, you know, having a part to do with last week and what they're doing for tomorrow is totally ridiculous. And if you're not a believer, then I really feel sorry for you. But if you are a believer, your spirit will always tell you the truth and a lie. So if you feel that, you know, Trump was a good president and you voted for him, you did the right thing. If you feel that Biden should get back in and take on some of Obama's policies back and get into that whole thing where I feel Obama started some of this division.
Well, let me jump in. I'm not a fan of feelings, whatever we feel. Number one. Number two, I appreciate you calling and making mention of the ability to discern. I'm always reminded of a pastor that I hold in high regard. I mean, we have access to God, but this pastor once said, God is more willing to lead and speak to us than we are willing to be led and listen. This is a personal self-will kind of thing. Thank you, Maureen. Rudy in Anaheim. Rudy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. How's it going?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Great. So I've heard you say a few times recently since the events at the Capitol, the storming of the Capitol, kind of trying to push back on the notion that everybody was just part of the whole group with the same mission. And we should be more specific about the people that we're talking about whenever we say the word they. And I really commend you for that. And you even mentioned that sometimes you don't always do that. So commend you for that too. But I wanted to challenge you on two fronts, just because I know you enjoy a good challenge. But one, when you say they want to take down the statues, I hear you say that when you're describing a lot of the current popular mainstream politics, and also hear you say they want to take prayer and God out of school. And I in the future when you say that, I would like you to be more specific when you're saying they. And
sure, also, I will just say the progressive left. I say it a lot, but it's a point well taken. Sometimes I say they. I'm remiss in maybe repeating over and over again, but it's undeniably, from my perspective, the progressive left I'm referring to.
I think that even then, there's parts of, I would consider myself progressive, but I don't really necessarily subscribe to all the, I think when you say they want to take down the statues, it's a lot more nuanced conversation and issue than just they want to take down all statues.
Yeah, with respect.
Have the same value.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in there. We're late for a break. With respect, I don't think it's a nuanced conversation. I think it's a conversation that primarily we dance around the specifics, that we need to be more specific, as you're suggesting, which I your word, I'll commend you. But nuanced? Far from it. This has been going on for decades, and it started with taking out prayer in schools. It started in a lot of ways, and here we are 40 years later. It's fully manifest right now.
Okay, well, I don't know what to say other than saying, I just recently watched a short documentary about Nazi Germany, and the way they deal with statues and the way they deal with monuments is actually very interesting. I feel like we don't have those types of conversations here where it's either all or nothing. It's either you support Confederate statues or you don't support. It's like, it's much more nuanced than that. That's why I'm saying what is the purpose of a statue? What is the purpose of, and I've also heard you tell me that if they promote one religion over the other in school, that you would be opposed to that.
Correct. But that's not the core of our country. We believe, the forefathers believe in religious freedom, not just one religion
exactly.
Above all. That's the separation of church and state.
If they spoke from the Quran.
Pardon me?
In public schools. I don't think you would appreciate it if you sent your kid to public school and they taught them out of the Quran, for example.
Well, first of all, they do it now. Second of all, please don't put words or thoughts into my own mind or mouth, because that's not the case. I've said many times on the program, and you obviously don't listen every single minute, probably nobody does, but a simple example is your high school football coach that because of atheists or groups, coward groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, where they'll, and I'll choose my words intentionally here, they'll narc on the local school board and they'll send threatening letters. Hey, that high school football coach can't pray at midfield. Separation of church and state. I've said many times on the program, of course he can. It's his First Amendment right. It's under attack. And if an imam wanted to meet at the 50-yard line and pray with all his Muslim players, I would have no problem with it. We need to stand up for religious freedom in this country, but primarily it's we, the Christians, that are under attack. Tucker Carlson last night in his monologue, you may want to watch it, talked about the shooting at Fort Hood 11 years ago. And you can follow up and find out what I'm alluding to for yourself. 888-528-2557. We have a line open, and you are welcome to call the program. We'll take more of your calls next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We have a couple of open lines. If you're just joining us, the numbers are 888-528-2557. In our Impact segment, I played an audio clip from Tucker Carlson last night, which featured Jason Whitlock, who, if you listen closely, they were talking about the state of the country and somehow how we've got tens of thousands of boots on the ground in D.C. and what's really going on here. He is a Christian, and if you listen closely, he alludes to faith as well. What's your response to this exchange?
You are right in the middle of saying why you think that this is a bad idea, this crackdown. Tell us why.
Absolutely. Tucker, I just want to repeat again for people to listen to what you said in your monologue, and I want to speak specifically to black people and to Hispanic people. We have to move beyond race. We have to deal with the facts and not get caught up in the game that's being played on us, that we hear everything in racial terms. There is a cultural war going on, and it is between those of us who are believers in the American dream, those of us who are believers in a higher power, those of us who are believers in Dr. King's dream of us being judged by the content of our character, and the people who don't believe in those things, the people that want to upturn all the great progress we've made here in America and take us a direction that is not healthy for any of us. They're using race as a distraction, and we're not looking at the corruption we have in this country because of the Chinese influence, the money, how they've overtaken our politicians and big tech, and they're trying to destabilize and tear down a great country, a country that is flawed, but is better than any country on the globe and has been better for us, those of us that are black, than any country on the planet. And yes, it was flawed. But if you understand our founding principles, the Declaration of Independence, the Emancipation Proclamation, and Dr. King's speech, and I Have a Dream, to me, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, the three most important men to me in American history, it's all there.
Amen.
They're trying to upturn all of that, get out of the racial discussion, and look at what's really going on in this country.
Jason Whitlock last night on Tucker Carlson. We have an open line, 888-528-2557. Any comments regarding what you just heard? We've got Flacco and Rick are the next two calls. Flacco is in Santa Ana. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. I just appreciate you taking my call. You know, I agree with the guy on the Tucker Carlson, you know. Everything he said, I'm tired of people playing the race card, you know. I could play that coward card, but, you know, anybody could play that. If you're a Trump supporter, you look at it as if you're a white racist. I'm not white, and I'm not a racist. I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and the Constitution. I'm pro-life, and God will have the final word. people are feeling right now like God let them down. But don't forget about those who were martyred. You know, it's you know, what the man said was right on. You know, I used to be a veterano in the La Raza movement. But when somebody shared with me Jesus, I got to see now. I'm no longer blind. And you can't play the victim race card. It doesn't work no more. People are tired of it. You got to put yourself in this life, in this race, and move. And God will do great things in you. And, Frank, I appreciate you giving me the airtime to express myself. But I tell you, you know, watching Trump give his farewell speech made us very sad. But we know God is going to reveal the truth, and he will show everybody exactly who he is real soon. And thank you, Frank. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing and fight the fight.
Thank you, brother. It's always good to hear from you, Flacco. Thank you for sharing today. Rick in Azusa. Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, good afternoon. It's good to talk to you again today.
Thank you.
I did much of what was said in the previous two callers. The caller before your break, I have no idea what his motivation was or where he was coming from. I wish you would have been a bit more pointed and specific, because I would like to learn more from that side. I will tell you, I'm with you 100%, but I'd like to understand what is it we can do. What can we? There's got to be something. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago on a Friday. You said, pray it, pray it, pray it. And I've been praying. But what can we be doing specifically to help our cause? I know that standard phrase of, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's biblical. I get it. But we're also called to action. And I don't get that. I don't know what I should be doing as a young guy, 62 years old. With a little bit of a disability, I'm in touch with my community, my neighborhood, and everybody knows who I like and why I did. But what can we be doing short of that? What can we do to get out on the ledge a little bit better than I'm doing here today?
Now,
that's my question.
I need a clarification. When you say, quote unquote, our cause, what do you mean by that specifically?
Well, I got to believe to sit back and just watch these next couple of days develop. Is one side of the pendulum. The other side is what they say took place in Washington 2 weeks ago. That's the other side. I'm not convinced that was conservative, right-winged, or logical-thinking people that did that. But I'm talking about me personally, what I can do to help promote God's will in this situation. I know the prayer part. I got that. I'm doing that. But I'm also called to say, get out of my chair and talk to people, tell people, do something other than just pray.
Yep. I think it's well stated. Thank you, Rick. Here's my response. What else can we do? What else can you do other than pray? You may not like the immediate response, which is study the Bible. There's a Bible study out that I made mention of before. You may have heard it. Maybe you didn't hear me make reference to it. If you want to better equip yourself, there's a Bible study out called How to Best Understand America's Deep Divide. You can go to CapMin, as in Capital Ministries, capmin.org. Rick, read that Bible study. Comb through it. Pray through it. This is a spiritual battle we're in, above all. And where we tend to get tripped up and where we tend to literally render ourselves impotent is we think this is a physical battle or in the physical realm. Or somehow if we get the political stuff right, then therefore the gospel will move forward. That's not the truth. And I also want to accentuate something you said. You have a heart for, if I may, you have a heart for being a warrior. You're like, look, I know something's wrong here. I want to know what I can do. Prepare. Be disciplined. Get deep in the Word. And then align yourself with other brothers that are with you in the battle. It's part of what my men's ministry does. But I want to emphasize again, read the Bible study. How to Best Understand America's Deep Divide. When you read it, you pray about it and understand what's really going on, and the division that's occurring in our country, it's so much more profound and deeper. It's literally a battle between good and evil. So an afterthought is, what can you do? You can battle on the side of good. God's made you unique in your own way. There's a whole lot of things inside of you that you may have a tendency to want to do than somebody standing next to you that has a whole different unique skill set or set of gifts that would do something else to battle against evil, if you will. But read that study and send me an email or reach out to me again. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you greatly, brother. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. I find it interesting, and maybe you didn't hear me make reference of what was in the book, Another Gospel, about Jesus and the Gospel of Matthew and how he said in a lot of things that primarily we don't hear or even believe that this is the Jesus of the Bible, right? He called the political elites dogs and pigs. Yeah, that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Find it interesting none of you have called for that. We do have a line open. James, you will be our first caller on the other side, 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. Time is of the essence, so I'm not even going to bother to tell you what we're talking about. I just want to jump back to the phones, take as many calls as I can. James and Duarte, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thanks, Frank, for taking my call. I took a call once in a while back, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. And what I really wanted to say about race, and I think the gentleman, I think his first name is Jason, and he was talking to Tucker Carlson, that we need to get over it. You know, let's say, for instance, if you fall and break your leg and you got one leg hurt and you have a right leg and left leg and people pulling you along say you need to get over it and you need to do this and do that because if you fall the way you treat you, you have a broken leg. You can't really maintain and walk as fast if you have both legs good. In the South, I know how I was treated, you know, by the white man. I know how I was treated for culturally. And so the bottom line about everything is the way blacks was treated and still being treated today. Racism exists, and so we can't say just get over it. We say, how we fix this thing? Acknowledge it.
Yeah, with respect, no one says racism doesn't exist. And the last thing that Jason Whitlock said was we need to get over it. That's not what he said. You probably misunderstood, but you're misrepresenting exactly what he shared. He didn't say any of that whatsoever. So let me ask.
We should get over it?
He said, he did not say that. He never said we should get over it. But here's my question. I would assume, if I remember correctly, we had a conversation before where we both said we are followers of Jesus Christ, correct?
Yes.
So I would think that above all, the only way to heal whatever the malady is in Christ. That's not to say it's an either or. Of course racism exists. Of course injustice exists. But when you primarily look to other people or even people groups or entities or the government to fix this problem, it's never going to work. Jesus is the only way in which we can heal above all. And Jason Whitlock kind of alluded to that.
Amen. But what is the remedy? See, the thing about that is, which I understand, I share this all the time with people. We have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people will never bring a utopia on earth because everybody has different opinion. Everybody can say good things, but only God knows a person's heart. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Only God knows my heart and your heart, like I'm talking to you right now. If people can say they want the right thing, they can say I love you, they can say all these things, but their actions speak loud. The gospel is, you know, we're weak in the flesh. I mean, things we want to do, we don't really do, but we want to do the right thing. But to curse people, to belittle them and say you can do things, get away with it, where they treat certain group of people, period, in the name of Jesus, what they did last Wednesday, I mean, in the name of Jesus?
Well, okay, thank you. I appreciate the call greatly. You kind of lost me for a minute, and then you circle back to a week ago Wednesday. And yeah, there were some people that had flags that said Jesus, but let's be careful not to broad stroke like somehow it was all one group of folks. That doesn't solve anything ever. Whenever you put everybody, all one entity and people groups, like they're all the same. I do value you, James. I appreciate you. I look forward to the next time. I wish we had more time, but so much is the format of the program. Angela in Los Angeles. Angela, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Okay.
You're on the air, Angela.
Hello. I wanted to just say that somehow there has to be a balance, even in church, because I have a lot of opposition from people in the church. I spoke up to people in the church when Obama was running. I had inquired because I thought I was going to vote for Obama. But when I started seeing some things, how he believes, like he believes in Saul Alinsky and the communists, and rather socialism. And we have now Biden, but I think that they're going to try and move Biden away and make it more Kamala Harris.
So what is the essence of your call? What's the essence of your call? What are you exactly trying to say? If you can put it in a sentence or two, I'm not sure I understand your point here.
I guess I'm trying to say that as Christians, we need to question our authority, whose authority, and we do not need to bow our knee to that authority. We need to stand for Christ in this particular time, that where our leadership is not godly. It is, their platform is not based on God. As a Christian, I think that we have to meet people out on the street and have conversations.
Well, I would support the latter. I, in certain circumstances, agree with the former, although you can get people from all sorts of theological views on Romans 13. Do we always submit ourselves to the governing authorities, even if they're ungodly? That's a rich conversation. I appreciate you bringing it up, Angela. Thank you for the call. Anthony in San Gabriel, we have 2 minutes. They're all yours. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Okay, Frank. It's my privilege and pleasure. Now, I don't want to waste all my time. Now, you know, if I can get my mind sober here, this country is under the worst attack. What is the communist bloc? We have gotten away. I'm 71 years old. We have lost sight on what true communism is, the Marxism that pervades the Soviet Union and other countries that have been infected by it. But I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go into subversives, anarchy, and bring up the anatomy of a insurrection and takeover.
So we've got that is, 1 minute, unfair, okay. Unfair, but you've got a minute. Go ahead, continue. I'm all ears.
Okay, and this message has left certain Christians to think evangelical Caucasian folk are racist. And I don't believe that. But I think listening, I support Alistair Begg. I love Alistair. And I think government is not the way to convert people. It's God's word and God the Holy Spirit.
Anthony, I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to ask you for a favor, if possible. I want to carry you over to the other side. It just feels really forced and rushed. You've got a lot to say, and I at least want to be fair with your time allotment. So if you can hang on, we're going to kind of pick up and revisit where you were going, where we left off. 888-528-2557 are the numbers. You can always email me to this program as well. I read all my emails. This is the Frank Sontag Show.